are you ready to pray tonight?
Yes.
How many of you, let me ask you a question, how many of you have ever sent a fax? Okay, is that just about everybody in here? How many of you know how a fax machine transmits? One, two, about 10 of you. So you don't know how it works, but how many of you, when you put a fax in the fax machine, know that you're going to send it and you believe in that? Even though you don't know how it works, right? You know what that's called? It's called faith. When I was in Washington last week, because my mom's been in the hospital, my mom's 82, my dad's 84, they'll be married 64 years, March. And my mom is the mother of the universe in my heart, because without my mom's influence in my life, I'd be in hell, dead, or who knows what. She was a godly woman, and she is a godly woman, and she brought me to the Lord, and she made me go to church. My dad was a heathen, and he didn't serve God, but she came from a long line of Christians. And so she, every Sunday morning, she clapped her hands like that and said, up, up, we're going to church. And she grabbed all three of us little kids. I was born in 1950, and I'm the youngest of three. And off we'd go to the Venice Baptist Church. And there we would sit in church all day long. And I thank God for godly moms. And she's been in the hospital, so I've been up in Washington. And so I've been praying a lot this week. And my brother is an engineer, and he was explaining to me about fax machines and just how they work and the X's and the zeros and how when you, because I said, I don't understand how that works. He says, well, it's simple. He says, I'm going to give this a real simple explanation. He said, everything's X's and zeros in computers. It's a language that they speak. And everything is transmitted through sound waves. Now, you can't see them, but if we could see the waves, the sound waves, the microwaves, all of the different things that are happening in our universe right now, we would see that there's no vacuum and there's no void. Everything would be filled with something. And so these X's and these zeros are on longitude and latitude, and when they transmit through the airwaves, and that computer picks it up and says, oh, I understand what that is, and I see right where it's supposed to be. Puts a dot there, and before you know it, there's a T, and then there's an E, and then there's an H, and it becomes a word, and it happens in a nanosecond. But it happens where we can't see it. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Just because you can't see how prayer works, or you can't see God, or you can't see that your prayers are actually going anywhere, doesn't make or mean that they're not working or powerful, or that you are transmitting to heaven just like we're transmitting when we send a fax or when we email or when we go online. Because everything is filled with something, and God is filled with everything, and He is filling all and in all. And when you and I pray, you are doing one of the most important things that God has designed you and me to do, and that is to pray. And I just want to look at just a couple things tonight about prayer. This is called Training for Overcoming. I've just got 10 minutes to just kind of give you a little thought about prayer tonight. The first time I ever sent a fax, this is a blonde joke. True story. I'm going to tell it myself. I sent the fax. My husband was standing there next to me. I'll never forget it. And I expected the paper not to come back. See, a lot of you are blonde, too. You're going, yeah, why would it come back? Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not more real than anything we can see, taste, touch, smell, hear, or feel. Thank you that the kingdom of God has come unto us, and the kingdom of God is in us and all around us. And Father, just like if I could open my eyes and see all of the waves and all the transmissions right now, I would be blown away by how busy the universe is. Lord, I know that you hear us, and I know that you're real, and I know that your word is true. So I thank you tonight for answered prayer, and I thank you for faith to rise up in the heart of your people. Now, Holy Spirit, as a revelator of the church, I ask that you'd help me to explain simply in the next 10 minutes, training for overcoming. You ready? Let me give you a truth. Satan has been defeated. True or false? True. He's been defeated. For if you're a new believer in here and you don't know much about the Word of God yet, let me explain to you that you and I are not fighting the devil. He's already been overcome by Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Let me give you some word on that. Satan's been defeated at Calvary. At the very beginning of this entire saga in the book of Genesis, we know that God created Adam and Eve. He gave dominion. He said, subdue, have dominion, take authority over this earth. He told them to rule and to reign under him as under rulers on planet earth. And we know that through the fall, through deception and rebellion, that they handed the title deed of the earth over to Satan. He usurped the authority from mankind. He stole it through deception. Man handed it to him. And mankind came under the bondage of the prince of the power of the air. And Satan moves in a hierarchy of demons. He moves in a hierarchy of principalities and powers and rulers in places that you and I cannot see with our physical eye, but he's very real. And Jesus called him the prince of the power of the air. He is a fallen ruler. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary as the last Adam, he came, that's why Christmas is so important to me, he came in the garb of sinful flesh. He was born a human being. He was all God, but he was all man. He walked through the human experience. He had a legal entry onto and into this planet. He came through the womb of a virgin. Are you hearing me? Jesus Christ experienced every temptation that will ever, ever be experienced by humanity. He faced that temptation without sinning, without the wrong thought, without the wrong word, without the wrong deed. He qualified and was completely qualified under the law because he was a Jew born under the law and he had to fulfill the law to be the qualified Lamb of God. He fulfilled it, and when he was taken to Calvary, he said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I pick it up." And when the enemy, Satan, caused him to be crucified, Satan didn't know that he was actually undoing his own kingdom and he was ruining himself. Because it says, and let me give this to you, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, and let me just give you chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, speaking of Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Colossians 2:15 says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them." And what is that saying? That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Now, Satan had a legal hold on humanity. He had the title deed and he had the legal hold because God is just, God is king, and God comes under the authority of his own law. He will not and cannot lie. Are you listening to me? So I'm talking about a legal matter right now, and I'm talking about prayer. Because Satan destroyed an innocent man who had not sinned. He destroyed himself because now he was subject to the law himself. And God gave the law to Noah and said, if you take a man's life, that man will be destroyed. Are you hearing me? Satan now was judged by God and he was ruined. And he no longer had the authority or the power over the human race. Because Jesus Christ took the keys of death and hell from Satan in hell. He went to the region of the dead. He led captivity captive, and through his victory at Calvary's cross, when he laid his life down as the sinless Lamb of God, and when he died for you and I, and his blood was shed, it paid the price for all the sin that humanity has ever or will ever, ever commit, and it unraveled the stronghold and the bondage that that serpent had on humanity on planet Earth. He's defeated. He's defeated. Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed. Having, past tense, disarmed. Having disarmed Principalities and powers. That's speaking about the demons and the demonic powers of darkness. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, speaking of the cross in Colossians chapter 2. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Satan has already been defeated. He has already been cast out. He's already been cast down. And he has no legal stronghold or power except that which we allow him to have. So here's the problem. If that's true, then why does it seem like Satan and his kingdom is winning this war? Glad you asked, because the solution to that problem is one word: enforcement. The body of Christ has been given the assignment of God to enforce the victory at Calvary's cross. And when we do not enforce it in faith, he is like a terrorist who illegally has entered territory, and he is destroying and he is stealing and he is killing on a rampage because we do not understand the rights and the privileges that we have been afforded as Christians, and we do not step into the war and wield our shield of faith, our sword of the Spirit, and begin to be who we're supposed to be, the army of God, and enforce that which he has already bought. Case in point, listen to this. We're Americans. There are three branches of government in the United States. Little history lesson. There is the legislative branch. There is the judicial branch. And there is the executive branch. Now, the legislative branch is, of course, our Congress and our Senate. The legislative branch of the United States of America is assigned the job of writing and making the laws. We just watched Congress and the Senate battle over a health care bill that is about to be approved. They are making a new law. Is that not true? Are you with me? Then there is the judicial branch of the government. Case in point, the Supreme Court, which is the highest court of the land, on down to federal courts and to state courts, on which sit justices, judges. Their job is not to write the law. Their job is to interpret the law and to apply it to a given crime. Then there is the third branch of government, which is the executive branch, which is the presidency. And his job is commander-in-chief. And his job is to enforce the laws of the United States of America. That is why he commands the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard. He is the commander-in-chief because he is the executive branch. He enforces the laws that Congress has made and that the Supreme Court and the judges and the judicial branch of this government have interpreted. He's the enforcer. I submit to you that we as the body of Christ do not write the law. It's already written. We do not interpret the law. It's already interpreted by God, the Son, and by God, the Holy Spirit. But we are called by God as his body on the earth to enforce that which he has already mandated and that which he has already said, so be it, because if you do not enforce a law, it is if that law does not exist. Case in point, don't ask. In the military, unenforceable. They don't want to enforce it. If a law is written but it is not enforced, then terrorism will run rampant and that law will be null and void. It means something, but until it's enforced, evil will overcome that good law. So that is why God has called you and I, as the body of Christ on the earth, to pray. Because prayer is on-the-job training. Prayer is God's system of training us how to rule and reign and take a hold of the victory that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has already given us and has already accomplished at Calvary's cross and at his resurrection. He has spoiled principalities. He's made an open show of them. They have no authority in our lives. They have no authority over our families. They have no authority in our church. They have no authority in our city. And if you and I do not stand up in faith and begin to enforce that which Jesus Christ has already handed us and said, I've paid the price, it's cost me everything, all power and all authority has been given unto me, go ye therefore into all the world as my agents and as my enforcers. Let me give you a scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. And I say to you that as Peter, and that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The church is the word ecclesia or ekklesia, however you want to say it in Greek. And since you don't speak Greek and I don't either, go ahead and choose. Ecclesia. Upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia. My governing body is what that word means. And the gates, it says, and the gates of hell, Hades is hell, and the gates of hell, the gates, the opening, the seat of power, how you enter through. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Listen to what he says. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you forbid, whatever you tie up, whatever you say is illegal, not allowed, will be not allowed in heaven. And whatever you loose and release and set free on the earth must be what is already loosed and set free in the heavens. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, why did God come and bind himself to his word and to his church so that all activity on earth and redemption on earth is dependent upon Jesus Christ, the head, and his body, the church, going into the highways and the byways and making disciples of every nation? That's what he did. I submit to you, because he is training us for eternity. And he's training us to rule and to reign with him. And he's training us just like that fax machine, that it's not about what I see with my physical eyes, or even what I understand with my mental capabilities, but it's about what I believe in my heart because I've seen it and I know it's true on the inside of me. And when I go to prayer to enforce what Jesus Christ has already said is ours to enforce. If I'm sick, God says that he is the healer and I can believe him for healing. My mother's in a hospital right now, 82 years old. Now I could say, well, she's 82, she's at heaven's gate. But you know what? My mother doesn't have to die sick. She can go home healed. Because he's the healer. Himself took my infirmities and carried away my diseases. Psalm 107 verse 20 says that God sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of every destruction. Psalm 103 verse 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who's pardoned all mine iniquities, and he's healed all of my diseases. You see, I have covenant promise, and I have the law of God on that thing. Now it's my job to enforce it in faith. Amen. So tonight we're going to do some enforcing. We're going to pray tonight, and we're going to pray the word of God tonight. How do we do this? Number one, realize, this is important, that answered prayer is not on the basis of us being morally worthy. You will never be morally worthy. I will never be perfect. I will always probably blow it somewhere, whether it's a sin of omission or a sin of commission or whatever kind of sin it is. Who really gives a rat? You know what? I will never be perfect this side of heaven. And if I base my faith on how I am and not on the shed blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for me and faith in what he's done, not who I am in the natural, but who I am because of what he's done and what he's called me to be, I'll never pray in faith. I got to realize, number one, answered prayer is not based on my being morally worthy. Number two, I'm going to have to come in faith. If we're going to enforce prayer tonight, we're going to have to believe God, just like that fax machine. You don't see it, but you know it's true. James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord." We've got to come in faith. Number three, I've got to pray in his name, because it's his finished work that gets this done. When I come in the name of Jesus, it says in John 14:12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do for you, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." And number four, I'm to invoke the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him, the enemy," speaking of Satan, when you see that picture of the warfare that's going on in Revelation chapter 12, "and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, not loving their lives unto death." It is his blood that paid the price, that has secured the promises, that says that we have legal right to now enforce as the executive branch on earth that we belong to heaven. So let's pray.